You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 29, where we left off last time. Did you hear the rhyme? I'm a poet, don't you know it? Acts chapter 10, verse 29. Before we begin, I want to say to all of you listening on internet and radio, when my program seems to be over, stay tuned, because from now on until Election Day, I am going to also be on the next 15 minutes to pray for America. I want to invite every Christian in America to come each Wednesday night at 6 p.m. to pray for President Trump and for America. You're also invited to come each Sunday, 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast. Wednesday, 6 p.m., Sundays, 5 p.m. And now, Acts chapter 10, verse 29. I have entitled this entire chapter, All Lives Matter. Now, we got up to verse 29 last time, so let me give you a little recap. The first preacher of the first church, the Apostle Peter, had gone up on a rooftop to pray, and God gave him a vision. And the vision was to teach Peter something God wanted him to know. So God let down a great big sheet from heaven filled with every unclean animal, fowl, seafood that you should never eat. Everything was in it that God commands us in Leviticus 11, do not eat. And of course, Peter did not eat that. God was saying that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're born into sin. So until a person gets saved, your righteousness is as filthy rags. Everyone is unclean. But since God sent his only begotten Son, who died in your stead, took your sins, when you are saved, he washes you clean, and then you are clean. And that was what God was saying. Now, I want to say that some of you say, well, since Jesus died on the cross, I can eat that. No, Jesus did not come to change the law, not one jot or one tittle. However, if you want to eat that, you won't go to hell for it, but you'll probably go to heaven sooner. Okay, all right. So the lesson God was teaching Peter was this. At that time, salvation was only open to the seed of Abraham. They're called the children of Israel. Here's the reason. When Abraham lived, everybody on earth was against God. Abraham, called Abram then, was the only man alive that God could get his attention. Abraham fell in love with God. So God said, Abraham, I'm trying to find somebody who will be pure, and I want to send my son into the world to save the world from their sins. So Abraham said, okay. So Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And he had so many descendants, the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky, the 12 tribes of Israel. And eventually through Moses and David, the Virgin Mary, came the Son of God, Jesus, who would pay our sin debt. Now God is Jesus' father, no man sired him, but Mary's father was of the tribe of Judah, seed of Abraham, and her mother was of the tribe of Levi, king and priest. So Jesus came, and all these 12 apostles who are beginning the church of Jesus Christ, they are all Hebrew, children of Israel, seed of Abraham. But God says, now all lives matter. Why? Because Jesus loves you. Jesus loved you so much he died for you. And I want everybody to hear the gospel story. Beside, there was a man named Cornelius who was not the seed of Abraham. And he was a Gentile. A Gentile is anyone who's not the seed of Abraham. He wanted to be saved. He prayed to God, he gave to God's work, and he fasted, but he wanted to know about Jesus. So he was sending for Peter, come and tell me the story of Jesus. So God wanted Peter to begin opening the gospel to everybody, because all lives matter. Amen. So now Peter is going to lead Cornelius and his family about to Jesus and to tell the story of Jesus. So Peter has arrived at Cornelius' house, and Peter is talking to Cornelius. Verse 29.
Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore, what intent have you sent for me?
What can I do you for, Cornelius? Says Peter.
30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting unto this hour.
Did you notice he said he was fasting? Now, we learned last week that Cornelius, he's not yet saved, but he's looking for God with all his heart. He prayed without ceasing, and he gave alms. He gave to the synagogue, the temple, and he gave to the poor, and now he's fasting. You better believe that somewhere Cornelius was peeping around the corner when Jesus was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, when you pray, when you give, when you fast. I tell you, Christians, you got 3 weapons in your arsenal that will beat the devil's head off every time. Amen. Pray, give, and fast. Amen. Cornelius was already doing this. Boy, does that get God's attention. You want God's attention, Christian? Pray, give, fast. I do it all the time. And God pays attention to me because I pay attention to him.
Amen.
Amen. And in the ninth hour, I prayed in my house.
That was 3 p.m., so it was a vision. Cornelius is going to tell Peter about the vision.
Behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing.
Every time God has ever sent to me a messenger from the heavenly realm, I have seen that beautiful clothing. It is so gorgeous. Nothing in this world could be like it. It's beautiful. It's ethereal.
31. And he said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine arms are had in remembrance in the sight of God.
God was listening. Cornelius prayed, yet he did not know Jesus, but he was trying to find God. He prayed all the time. And then he gave. He gave to the synagogue, the temple there. We would say to the church, he gave to the poor. And we can see he just fasted. God pays attention to a heart, even if you don't yet know him. God, I want you. I'm praying. God, I want you. I'll give to your church. I'm fasting. May I have you, God? Oh, when you hunger and thirst after God, you'll find him.
Yeah. 32. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter.
Cornelius says, God told me to send for you, Peter.
He is lodged in the house of one Simon the Tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee.
He's going to tell me the story of Jesus.
33. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come.
Thank you so much for coming, Peter, says Cornelius.
Now, therefore, are we all here present before God?
You know what? He had all of his cousins by the dozens, all of his family and friends. One of the most beautiful things is a pure heart who seeks God. You're not satisfied with just you being saved. You want your family saved. You want your cousins by the dozen saved. You want all your neighbors saved. You want all the county saved. You want the nation to be saved. You just want everybody to be saved. That's like God. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Yeah.
Amen. To hear all things that are commanded thee of God.
To hear the story of Jesus. Tell us the story of Jesus, Peter.
34. Then Peter opened his mouth.
Now, when Peter opened his mouth, it'll sound like Peter, but he had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When a man or woman or a boy or girl is really called of God and anointed and has the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you will think it's that person. But it is not that person that speaks. The Father within, he speaks. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God the Father. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. And so it will always be the voice of God. That's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so important.
And said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.
Now, when he said of a truth, that proves right there that Peter was not speaking, but that the Holy Spirit was speaking through him. Why is that? Remember when Jesus would always say, verily, verily, I say unto you? Yes. Verily, verily means of a truth, of a truth. So Peter just said, of a truth, all lives matter to God.
35. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him.
The word nation in the Greek is ethnos. This means the races, all of the races. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we see that God made them male and female. But he uses the word Adam. But it's not Eth Ha'adam, that specific man in Genesis, the next chapter, who was married to Eve, through whom Jesus came. This Adam means mankind in general, in the original Hebrew. What is mankind in general? Red, yellow, brown, black, and white. They are precious in God's sight. And then in Genesis 1, the last verse, God says, it's very good. All lives matter.
Verse 6, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel.
Now, the children of Israel were the seed of Abraham, and the Word is the Lord Jesus Christ, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Remember, before there was ever a flesh body, and someone was in it called Jesus, there was the Word. Before there was ever a book called the Bible, there was the Word. The Word existed, and the Word became flesh, and the Word came through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right on down through the Virgin Mary, and Jesus is that living Word. So Peter says, God kept his promise, the Savior, the Word came, Jesus.
Preaching peace by Jesus Christ.
Jesus is the only one that can give you true peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Jesus will give you the peace that passes understanding. Now, in a little while, we're all going to see someone come, call himself Jesus, and he's going to say peace and safety, but he won't be real Jesus. He'll be instead of Jesus, the Antichrist. Don't worry about him. Wait for the true Christ, Jesus, the Prince of Peace.
Who is Lord of all?
Lord of all. Jesus always was, he always is, he always will be. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and yet he puts himself in this lowly body. He left heaven's glory to come down here to pay your sin debt and mine. Why? All lives matter. Jesus loves you.
Amen.
37. That word, I say, you know, was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee with the baptism which John preached.
Cornelius, I know you've heard this. While they didn't have social media and Facebook, they had the grapevine. He said, I know you've heard of John the Baptist, who said, repent, ye generation of vipers, ye children of the devil, ye snakes. And you also heard of John the Baptist saying, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And Jesus came up and said, John the Baptist baptized me with water. John the Baptist said, you need to baptize me. I'm not worthy to unloose the latchet of your shoes. Jesus says, I'm doing this as an example. Because water baptism means that you believe that Jesus died, you go under the water, and that Jesus arose from the dead. So John the Baptist baptized the Lord Jesus. And when Jesus came up out of the water, a dove landed on Jesus. A dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Look at that. As soon as he was water baptized, then he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. That was a baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, you're supposed to get saved, baptized with the Holy Spirit, and then water baptized. And then there was a voice from heaven. It was God the Father. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased."
Amen. Amen.
38. And God anointed Jesus of Nazareth.
The anointing means that Jesus was baptized with God the Father. The anointing means, in this case, that at that baptism of the Holy Spirit by Jesus, God the Father painted himself on Jesus. The anointing means God paints himself on you. So Jesus was painted, and Jesus says, "When you see me, you see the Father." Remember Jesus said that?
Yep.
You know why? Because God the Father anointed Jesus. Anointing means God paints himself on you. Now, you, when you're saved, and then the next step is you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, Jesus anoints you, and Jesus paints himself on you. So when we saw Jesus, we see the Father. He was anointed with the Father. Father painted himself on Jesus. Now, if you're all where you need to be, every time somebody sees you, they see Jesus. You pray like Jesus. You talk like Jesus. You give like Jesus. You laugh like Jesus. You love like Jesus. You live like Jesus.
Amen.
He paints himself on you. The anointed one, Christos Christ.
With the Holy Spirit and with power.
Jesus says you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. Some Christians get saved and you go through life with no power. The Holy Spirit will give you power over scorpions and serpents, devils and demons. He gives you power in his name to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out devils, to pray with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will pray through you with groanings which cannot be uttered. And you will be a light in this world. And everywhere you go, things will change. And you will be an absolute blessing. You will absolutely show Jesus to this world. Without the Holy Spirit, you do not know how to live the Christian life. You're very sweet and nice. Your prayers are sweet, but they have no power. In other words, the Holy Spirit is the power. Be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, what about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil? For God was with him.
Isaiah 7:14 prophesied of Jesus. He said, "A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Because he was God incarnate, showing God to the world. But you, saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, anointing Jesus painted on you, God is with you. And everywhere you go, God goes.
Amen.
39. Are we witnesses of all things which he did, both at the land of the Eudes?
All right. The word J-E-W is not a correct word. The Greek word is Eudes. It either means our beloved brother Judah, who was one of the 12 tribes of Israel, seed of Abraham, or a resident of Judea, or a Kenite, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, who say they're Jews, but are not the synagogue of Satan. So Eudes. So in this case, he's talking about, we've only been preaching Jesus right here in this area.
And in Jerusalem.
And in Jerusalem.
Whom they slew and hanged on a tree.
This Jesus they hung on a tree. Galatians says, "Cursed is he that hangs on a tree." You see, the wages of sin is death. And all of sin comes short of the glory of God. There was only one entity who was clean enough and pure enough to bail us out. God sent his son, no sin. And he said, "I will die in your stead." He paid your sin debt. He bailed you out. He died there on the cross. On that cross, Jesus looked down at his body. It was covered with blood, and he said, "I am but a worm." What he meant was, at those times, they took a crimson worm and made red dye and dipped the material in it. Jesus says, "I look like I've been dipped in the red dye of a crimson worm." He was covered with blood. He shed his blood. Why the blood? Because the life is in the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. They hung him on a tree. He died for me, and he died for you.
Amen.
40. Him God raised up the third day.
However, death couldn't keep him. He arose from the dead.
And showed him openly.
We saw him 40 days after his resurrection, says Peter.
41. Not unto all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before.
Jesus showed himself alive only to those chosen from before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4. Who are they? Now, there's a difference between whosoever will may come, they have free choice, and the chosen. This goes back to the world that then was. 2 Peter 3:6, world means age. Ecclesiastes 12:6 and 7 says we were all with God before we in our flesh body, in a spirit body. When the silver cord breaks, when you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. We were all with God in that first earth age. We were all created at the same time. We were the same age. There was no sin. There was no sickness. There was no death. There was no pain. But Isaiah 14 says, Lucifer said, I will be God. He betrayed God. And Revelation 12 says he drew a whole bunch of God's children. They followed him and betrayed God. And the wages of sin is death. But God loved them and said, I'm going to give you a second chance. I'm going to send all of you out one time into the second earth age in a flesh body. And I'm going to give you free choice. You can choose the devil again, or you can choose my son Jesus, because Jesus will also come and pay your sin debt. But there was one group there, Revelation 12, that fought against Lucifer, that old dragon. They stood up for God. They were not guilty. They didn't have to come out. But God held a judgment. Romans 8, 28, 29, 30, 31. The elect were justified. They didn't have to come out. But God said, I'm selecting you. I'm electing you. I'm choosing you. I need you. I can trust you. I want to send some of you out in every generation to bring forth the oracles of truth. You're the only ones I can trust. So there's a difference between the chosen. They've come down all through the Bible. God's very elect right here. We're going to stand up to the Antichrist. The chosen, and then they're the free willers, because all lives matter. But God loves all of his children.
Amen.
God. Even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead.
Remember, Jesus was cooking some fish for breakfast and said, come and dine, after he was resurrected.
42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people.
As Jesus went up back to heaven in the whirlwind, which means a chariot of fire, the highly polished bronze vehicle, parentheses, have you heard on the news about these vehicles that say could not be made in earth? You know what that is? That's the fallen angels. The Antichrist is about to come. Another teaching for another time. We taught it in Revelations. Jesus went up and he said, and this is to you, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now that's the Great Commission. Every one of you is supposed to do that. That doesn't mean you're a preacher or an evangelist, but each one is to reach one. You are to be a minister of reconciliation. Your job, whether you're chosen or whether you're free willer, is to win others to Jesus. Are you doing that?
And to testify that it was he who was ordained of God.
Christos Christ, anointed of God, the Messiah.
To be the judge of quick and dead.
Quick means living. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And it is Jesus Christ and Jesus alone who will decide whether you will have eternal life or whether you will walk into the lake of fire and go into ashes and be no more. In other words, Jesus is going to separate the goats, the unclean, the lost. They go to the left. He's going to put the sheep, the saved, on the right. Always go to the right, and they have eternal life.
Yeah. 43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever that believeth in him shall receive remission of sins.
Peter is speaking of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 53. He says of Jesus, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Jesus was smitten, rejected of men, seemingly smitten of God, but not really of men. Jesus opened not his mouth. He was a willing vessel to die for you. Isaiah continues to say in Isaiah 53, verse 11, "And he bore our iniquities. He took the iniquities of us all on himself." Iniquity is sin. "He who knew no sin took all of the sins. As he was on the cross, he looked and he saw all the sins, and he saw the sin of lying. And Jesus said, 'Lying sin, come on me.' Lying sin said, 'Ha, ha, ha, I've got you now, Jesus.' But no, Jesus had the lying sin. He took it on himself. Jesus saw the sin of only thinking of yourself, me, myself, and I. Self-centered, it's all about me. Jesus said, 'Come here, you self-centered sin. Come here, me, myself, and I.' Me, myself, and I said, 'Ha, ha, 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 I've got you, Jesus.' But Jesus had that sin. Then Jesus saw the sin of hate. Jesus said, 'Hate, come here.' Hate said, 'Ha, ha, ha, I've got you, Jesus.' But Jesus took hate. Hate said, 'Jesus, you so love everybody, you'll die for them, but I'm going to get on you, hate.' No, Jesus took hate. And one by one, every sin of anyone, he took on himself. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He died because the wages of sin is death, for your sins and for mine, so that you could live."
Amen. Amen.
44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word.
The word of God was so powerful, the Holy Spirit fell. The Holy Spirit fall, Holy Spirit. Breathe, Holy Spirit, on all who heard the word. You just heard the word.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, fall on all who heard the word.
Amen.
America, the world,
yes.
Internet, radio.
Yes.
Fall, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Open up, people. Let
come,
it come
Holy
in.
Spirit.
45. And they of the circumcision which were believed were astonished.
Now, these were some Ehudas who came with Peter. They were saved. They were the tribe of Judah, and they were already saved.
As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit.
They were so glad because, you see, there's nothing greater than we see another get this beautiful gift. Look. I mean, God, all lives matter. He's going to give you the gift too. The greatest thing you can ever get after you get saved is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It'll change your life forever. Amen. I remember when it first happened to me, I was actually leading a group in prayer. I'd given my life to God. I loved the Bible. I loved God. I lived for Him. I was called and chosen. It came like a breath of cool air on my vocal cords, and I heard a language. I have never been the same. The Amen. Holy Spirit empowers you to live for God. Otherwise, you're sweet and cute and beautiful and pretty, but you do no good because you have power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Breathe on everyone.
Amen.
46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God.
The tongue there in the Greek is language. The Holy Spirit has a language. It is not gibberish. It is not jabber. Glory to God in the highest. Praise God. Did you notice he just spoke? Did you hear him be magnified?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit language always magnified God. That might have gone too fast over you. When you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you'll pick that up and you'll respond instantly.
Amen.
Then answered Peter, 47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized.
Now see, Peter realizes that first of all you get saved. They heard the word and believed, and the next thing is to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Most people get saved, get baptized with water, and half the Christians never get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You missed it all. The first step, get saved, repent, believe, baptized with the Holy Spirit, and then you're baptized with water. The baptism of water does not save you, but is your first command after you become a Christian. It is a confession that you believe that Jesus died, you go under the water, that Jesus arose from the dead. And the Bible says confession is made to salvation. So once you're saved and receive the Holy Spirit, then you're to be water baptized as an act of obedience.
Which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we. 48. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord.
The Lord, L-O-R-D, is Yahweh. It's not Jehovah. It's not Yahweh. It's Y-H-V-H. Jesus' name means Yahweh's Savior. When you baptize in the name of the Lord, Yahweh's Savior, you're also saying Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for these three are one.
And then prayed they him to tarry certain days.
So they said, Peter, please stay with us. Teach us more of the word. Let us all come together in the unity of the faith. Let us pray together. Let us sing together. Let us shout together. Let us love God together. Let us love one another. How beautiful it is for the body of Christ to come together in unity. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together.
Amen.
Now, some of you under the sound of my voice are lost. If you will right now pray this prayer that I'm about to pray, God will save you and you will have eternal life. For those of you in this sanctuary, on radio, on internet, listening on your cell phones, pray this and mean it. Now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Your life matters. But you don't want to walk into the lake of fire. Be saved. Be saved right now. Pray this with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please wash away all my sins with the blood of Jesus.
Please wash away all my sins with the blood of Jesus.
Forgive me for them all.
Forgive me for them all.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To bring many souls to Jesus.
To bring many souls to Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. Amen. Now, for those of you who are listening on radio internet, at the end of my show, my announcer will give you my telephone number, and I invite you to call and leave that message on my answer machine. For those of you who prayed this for the first time in my live sanctuary, I will talk with you later. God bless you. All lives matter. For God so Amen. Loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. I pray you are blessed.
Amen.
Now let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Sun Tree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry. Amen. All lives matter for Jesus.
Yeah. All lives matter. Yeah. Well, Scott, David left his stuff in the car. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:10.
Confession is made unto salvation. Thank you, Scott. Amen. That is so perfect. Well, now I'm going to pray for those of you who are sick. Jesus still heals. When he took those stripes were for the healing. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, there is someone who has a bladder infection. You're having to make too many trips to the bathroom. I ask, O Son of Righteous, arise with healing in your wings. Let the infection be gone. Let the bladder be in perfect order. No overaction nor inaction. There's someone who's having trouble in the ovaries. The right ovary, be healed. The left ovary, be healed. Menstrual cramps, stop. Let the rejuvenating, healing virtue of Jesus, laser beams of light, go into the female organs and heal the ovaries. All bleeding, stop. Be healed in the name of Jesus. With Jesus' stripes, you're healed. He restores health and cure to you. He heals you of your wounds. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. He took the stripes, you take the healing. God bless you. Nothing is given you to keep. Go and tell. Go and witness. Go and win souls. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your host, Sherry Medlock, saying I love you and I thank you for loving the God I love. And I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth. Yes.
Woo. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet
God bless
of Truth.
You. This is Sherry Medlock of Trumpet of Truth. Won't you join me as we pray for America? Praise the Father. Praise the Son. Praise the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Lord. Precious Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, we come before you now, your people, humbling ourselves, seeking your face, turning from our wicked ways to pray for the United States of America. Father, we have sinned, and we ask that you will forgive our sins. I ask in Jesus' name that the Spirit of the living God will pour out a spirit of conviction all over America, in all 50 states, in every house, in the businesses, in the churches and in every street and corner of America, that there be a conviction of sin, of righteousness, a judgment to come. And I ask, Father, that you will draw us to call on your name and be saved. And I ask you will hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land, Father, as you promised in your word in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Thank you, Father. And now, Father, in Jesus' name, I lift up to you President Donald Trump. We thank you for him, Lord. We know that you have placed him for such a time as this. We ask that you will protect him. Shamar President Trump about air, land, or sea. Let him live and let him not die. Restore his strength as the eagles. Renew his youth as the eagles. I ask that you will give him sweet sleep. Let his body feel good. Anoint President Trump with the Holy Spirit. Fill him with your word. Guide him by your Holy Spirit. Let President Trump be wiser than serpents and harmless as doves. And I ask, Father God, that if there are any more traitors around him trying to pull another coup on him, let them be exposed and deposed in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask that you will cause President Trump to be reelected as President of the United States by a landslide majority, both of the Electoral College and the popular vote. Thank you for him. And let him be a part of turning this nation back to Jesus and the Bible. Let Jesus be the Lord of America, the Bible, the book, in Jesus' name, a holy land one more time. And Father, I'm also asking you to touch all of the people in America, especially your people called by your name, Christians. And I ask they will also vote that the House of Representatives get back on the right side, Republican right. Let us take that House back from those socialists and communists who hate us, and let us maintain the Senate. Let all of the government be the government of Jesus Christ, from the Constitution, which is from the common law of England, which is from the Bible. Give us victory in Jesus' name. And Father, I'm asking that you will reform the Church of Jesus Christ in America. I ask you to bring all of your church together, one accord, no discord. Jesus is Lord. Put each one of us in our right place, no one missing, no one broken, encouraging one another. Let us give up the divisions and the denominations, and let us make Jesus our real Lord. Let us give up the pride and the movie star business in the church and the begging for money. And let the Word of God be rightly divided, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Let the Holy Spirit lead and build your church, and not the gates of hell shall prevail against it. And let the Church of Jesus Christ in America come together now and take back this country from the enemy, from the socialists, from the Marxists, from the communists, from the political system of the Antichrist, and make Jesus our Lord and the Bible our book, and let us be holy and free. And Father, I'm asking, reform the educational system in our country. This is a good time, Father. Let the schools get back like they were originally. Let that all of the schools, Father God, have Christian teachers, and let each day begin with the teacher reading the red words of Jesus and praying in the name of Jesus with a pledge of allegiance. Let our children be taught the true history of America. Father, have mercy on this country. I ask you to save us and heal us and make us free again. Rebuke the devourer for our sakes. Oh, Father Jesus, Lord of America, Bible book, protect us by thy might, O Lord God. And that's not all. Oh God, that we are asking you keep us free. We are asking that you will be glorified in this nation, that the cross of Jesus Christ will be lifted up above America, and the whole world will know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Father, thank you for hearing this prayer. And I know you hear me always, and I ask you to please do exceeding abundantly above all I can ask a thing. We thank you. We love you. God save America, and God bless America, and may America bless God in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, everybody out there listening to me now, Jesus says, if two or more agree touching anything, it shall be done. Let us all say together, I agree in Jesus' name. Let's say it, America. I agree in Jesus' name. Thank you, and I love you. And I'll see you next time with Trumpet of Truth.
You're God listening bless to you. WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true? my strength. Yes, you're my love, my God. You're my life. You're my joy and my song in the night. How I marvel at your mercy, and I sing. You're my love, you're my life, you're my joy and my song in the night, Lord my God. How I marvel at your mercy, oh, and I sing, yeah, I sing out my praise, praise to the Lord.
You're listening to Brevard County's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Lord, make me an instrument. Jesus hanging on the cross.
This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
When you look at the division among God's people, when you look at the perversions, we need a revival.
Dr. Tony Evans says revival is more than just making people go to church. It's making people come to life.
We're not better off because we showed up in the house of God. What we actually need is not a sermon. We need a revival.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. A lot of people attend revivals looking for more energy or enthusiasm. But today, Dr. Evans begins a series that'll teach us about what we really need to literally be brought back to life. Let's learn more.
When we left on vacation, we went overseas to do a Mediterranean cruise. And I was looking forward to it. I love cruising. It's very relaxing, and you get to see numbers of different places. But a few days after we boarded the ship, there was a problem. The upper left side of my mouth began to hurt. At first, it was just a low-level, irritating pain. And so every now